From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this part of our hour was made this past Sunday in the Democrat and Chronicle. You might have seen the story by columnist Dave Andriotta telling this story, an unusual story, about a house in Rochester, a house located right across the street from the house of Assemblyman David Gant. And the question was, what happened with that house? How did Mr. Gant come to possess the house? And did he and why did he receive thousands of dollars from the city of Rochester to spruce up the house? Now, Dave Andriotta wrote the piece. It got a lot of feedback and response. And we've invited both Dave Andriotta and David Gant to join us. Dave is in studio. And Dave Andriotta, nice to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
On the line with us is Assemblyman David Gant as well. And Assemblyman Gant, thank you for taking the time for us.
Thank you very much.
Well, I want to start with the facts of this because I don't want to assume that all of our listeners understand not only the story, but the facts of what happened. And to be fair here, I want to ask Dave Andriotta to explain what he wrote, and I want Assemblyman Gant to have plenty of time here to respond to the facts of the story. So let's walk through the facts of what happened. And Dave Andriotta, how did you hear about this to begin with?
How I heard about it was actually from a reader of an earlier column that I wrote. About a year and a half ago, Channel 13, I believe, broadcast a story about Assemblyman Gant, who had walked away from a house on Central Park. He stopped paying the property taxes. The city had taken it over. That was the initial report. It was sort of a just the facts, ma'am, report, and it was well done. I took it a step further. I have that luxury of being a columnist that I can inject some opinion into my work. And in that case, I took it that step further by mowing the lawn of the said house and had some fun needling the assemblyman. He's aware of it. We talked about it. And I'd be interested to hear his response again to my latest piece. That being said, I have had since followed up on that house with a couple of columns. And on September 28th, the city of Rochester demolished that house at an estimated cost of $26,000. I don't have the exact figure, but the city estimates that's what it costs for each teardown. So that would be a taxpayer. That would be an expense to taxpayers. After I reported about that, a few weeks later, I heard from a reader who urged me to look at something that she saw in the Daily Record. It was a mortgage report. They have it every day. It's just a listing of all the mortgages that are filed in the county clerk's office. And the mortgage said, and there was a listing there, for a mortgage between the city of Rochester and David Gant for $36,000 and change. And the lender was the city of Rochester. And her inquiry to me was, am I reading this right? First of all, is this the assemblyman, that David Gant? And secondly, didn't I just read in your paper that the city just spent $26,000 tearing down a house that he had stopped paying the property taxes on? Indeed, she did read that. And I took it from there. So I looked into this mortgage and what it involved. And essentially what it was a grant between the city of Rochester and David Gant that was signed a few days after the city tore down that house. And the grant is through a city grant program called the Exterior and Security Rehabilitation Program that helps homeowners and landlords in certain areas, poor neighborhoods, and actually just slivers of poor neighborhoods, really, to spruce up their property. These are areas that the city has deemed focused investment strategy areas. These are areas that are poor but promising. What it offers is homeowners and landlords a chance to get grant money to fix up their homes. And in exchange, they have to own their homes for a certain period of time. In this case, it was 3 years. From there, what I was curious about is when he came into possession of this house. And that also piqued my interest because he didn't own this house until May of 2015. At least that's when the deed was transferred over. So why is all of this interesting? Why should we care? Well, first of all, to that original reader's question, how does someone who has just cost the city $26,000 by walking away from a property then get $36,000, what is essentially a grant, a gift, to spruce up another rental property? That's question one. The other question is, when the assemblyman applied for this grant, he applied before before he actually owned the house. He applied, in fairness, under the Richards administration, and his application was accepted, and the city has used the terminology of approved and preliminarily approved. They sort of have vacillated. The officials I've spoken to have vacillated between these two terms. They want to be careful, I think. They said, you know, like, he was preliminarily approved on July 22nd, 2013. This is a full 2 years before the deed was actually transferred. And what that preliminary approval meant is that the ball is moving forward. There was a lead-based testing that had to take place, and he had to choose some contractors. All of that took place in the span of the next 2 years. So the questions are really, I think, less about the assemblyman, to be honest with you, because the city claims that he got no special treatment. You could debate that, but I'm going to take the city for its word on that the assemblyman got no special treatment. Then really the questions are about the integrity of this program. Can anyone apply for money from the city to spruce up properties that they don't own? And secondly, if that applicant has caused damage to the city in the form of a walking away from a house that the city that ends up having to pay to tear down, why should they be allowed to reap the benefits of this program?
Okay.
So that is essentially the story.
Okay. Assemblyman Gann, can you illuminate some of that or respond to some of the questions that Dave just raised?
I'm so glad that you gave Ms. Andred an opportunity to get on your program to talk about this. And I'm also glad to be here, because it seems to me that Ms. Andretta has some real problems with black public officials. But beyond that, let's get to the facts of both of these properties. One is, I moved on Lyndhurst Street in 1974, shortly after I was elected to the county legislature. When I moved on Lyndhurst Street, I came here to build a neighborhood. I believe I told Mr. Andretta that, if he will admit that. I lived at 275 Lyndhurst Street. I rebuilt that house. The house that Ron Thomas, who's a friend of mine, who was a legislator later on, was empty. I think it's 263, a vacant house. The house across the street from him was a vacant house. The house that I live in now was a vacant house. The house, the yellow house next to the house that Ms. Andretta talked about, was a vacant house. I took every one of those houses. They all have the CFO. They all have been lead tested. And every one of them have these brand new replacement storm windows in them. Because, you know, I'm concerned about this neighborhood. I've lived here better than 40 years on this street. Mr. Andretta didn't bother to talk to my neighbors who have been on the street, even some of them longer than me, the Du Boises and those people. They've been here for years. They've watched me as I go door to door, wherever I had to go, to try and rebuild a neighborhood. I did it shortly after Corn Hill. That's how long I've been here. So I've done that. Now, in terms of the property itself, let's talk about that property. That's 246 and a half Lyndhurst Street. What Mr. Andretta doesn't bother to tell you, or at least he didn't bother to do his homework, is Mr. Kennedy owned the property. But the tax bill came in my name for close to 40 years, well over 30 years. Okay? It came in my name. What happened then was there was a time and a place that there was a vacant house between that house and the house next door. It might be 239 or 240. I don't know what the address is. There was a discussion about the empty lot there with the city. The city said one property would take half the land, half the lot, and the other side, 246, would take half the lot. I applied for that. Okay, they said, look, you will get it when the land contract that Mr. Kennedy and I had with the city, the land contract that we had the lot would go to you. I have a letter in my file that says that. Not long ago, when Mr. Andrea was talking about me to have it, the mortgage being changed in my name. Well, what happened was the city said, oh, they wanted to give the lot to the guy next door. The guy next door came and told me about it. He said, well, because we had a fence put in. In fact, I paid for the fence because I had the person who owned the house before I had a problem with, and I got the letter. We then tried to solve it that way. I have a letter in the file. Ms. Andretta doesn't know about the letter. I told him to go to the courts, that he could see all this stuff that he's talking about. Okay, but he refused to do that. I pointed him to the courts because he wanted to say that I was doing something that was inappropriate. They said to me, I'd love to do that for you, David. We know that you pay the taxes every year, and I pay them on time every year. So they then said to us, but however, we can't allow you to raise the taxes of Mr. Kennedy. I said, but he gave me the authority to do it. Well, we can't do it. And I said, well, you have it. Here's a letter from you that you sent me. They said, well, we're not going to do it. Okay? So now we have a house, 246, the house in question. We had that house, and they're about to take away half the lot of the house, of the empty lot in between. Okay? And I said, I have to solve the problem. And so I started to look around. I was advised by someone, well, you can go to this adverse, whatever it's called, and you can go into court and you can have it if you've taken here the property over 10 years. Well, remember something. If you go back and look, Mr. Kennedy got the property from the past Mayor Ryan, the late Mayor Ryan, okay, because they were buddies on in the service together. The late Mayor Ryan, okay, said, David, I'd like to give him the property because Mr. Kennedy's family owns the property. However, he's on fixed income, and I can't do that. I said to him, Mayor Ryan, you know what? I'm trying to rebuild the street. I will work with him on the thing.
You did it out of kindness to help him and to help your street. You're saying you've been paying the taxes for years, and then you get a window to actually own the property that you say you've been managing essentially for years through this adverse, what's it called, Dave? You wrote about it in the piece. It's a
adverse possession.
Adverse possession is something that most people have never heard of, but basically, my understanding is that if you have been managing, running, kind of taking control of a property for at least 10 years, and you can apply to essentially be given the property, even though you didn't buy it. Is that right, David?
That's what happened. We went into the courts. The courts made the decision to do that. However, I look for Mr. Kennedy. I don't necessarily want the property. I did want to get the property so that we could add half a lot to the house. And number two is to make sure that we follow through on the program. Remember, it's now raising his taxes. The city said, we can't even give you the land that we had promised you.
Okay. To be clear on the question of adverse possession, David Andreata, you wrote in your piece that the assemblyman appeared to oppose it in Albany.
Yeah, in 2007, the Senate and the Assembly passed a bill that would have defeated this claim that the assemblyman had used in this case to gain possession of the house.
It would have thrown out the whole idea.
Yeah, and what it said, and I'm going by memory here, but what that bill said was that if the adverse possessor, in this case the assemblyman, had quote-unquote actual knowledge that the property in question was owned by somebody else. So it wasn't just like a squatter, right? A squatter who just sits in a building that's been vacant forever and then wants to try to get this land. That squatter may or may not know whether that building is owned by anyone.
So we're not going to give that guy a property.
Exactly.
But if someone like David Gant or somebody has actually been managing a property.
Well, no, but in this case, the exact opposite.
Okay.
In this case, it was if you have actual knowledge that that the property in question is owned and you know the owner, then the claim would be defeated.
Okay.
And that passed both houses, but the governor vetoed that.
Okay, so David Gant...
But the owner left me in charge of the property and virtually said, manage the property, do whatever you got to do. I'm going to leave. He went someplace south. I looked for him, as you did. You didn't find him, neither did I.
Right, but now you own it. You didn't pay anything for it. Now you own it, right?
If Mr. Kennedy came back today, I'd be glad to give him the property.
But you own it now, right?
Yes. So what?
So you own a property that you didn't have to pay anything for, and now you're getting $36,000 from the city to spruce it up. Is that correct, that you got that money to spruce it up?
No, understand something. The house had a land contract on it. Mr. Kennedy had me pay for the land contract with the city. Okay? I took care of all the documents. The tax bill came to my office. I paid for the taxes for 30-some years. So there's no intent on my part to take anything from Mr. Kennedy. If Mr. Kennedy, understand something, and I hope your listeners understand something. If Mr. Kennedy came back today, I would give him the property.
Okay,
you hear that?
Absolutely. I understand that part. As odd as that law is, and it is strange, and people can make their own decisions on what they think about adverse possession. But why did you need $36,000 from taxpayers to spruce it up, David?
Why do I? Because they're doing that in this neighborhood. The mayor and the city council have this as a targeted area, okay, to improve the problems in this neighborhood. I have put every nickel, dime, I can rake it straight on Lyndhurst Street. Please come over. I'll be glad to show you. Be glad to show you the apartments. As a kid who grew up on welfare and lived in all kinds of garbage, okay, I just refuse to do that. As I say, go check the CFO. Go check the lead wipes. Go check, come check the apartments. I'll be glad to let you see them. Okay, this is not something about taking care of the public. This is about Mr. Andrietta's problem with black politicians.
Now, David, you've said that twice now, and you have to at least substantiate. I mean, that's a very, very strong claim to make here. You know, so let's back up here. He wrote a piece about you giving, basically walking away from a property and forcing the city to pay $26,000 to knock it down. Why did you do that?
Listen, that property over there, okay, called the police. They did a drug raid. I went back in to do the house over. I went in there three different times to do the house over. Put copper in it, put brand new furnaces, put hot water tanks, and ripped it off. Okay? I went back again, put a brand new line from the street, ripped it off. In fact, if you go to the Department of the Water Department and with the city, you will find out that I paid for a meter. Okay, that somebody took out of that particular property. I tried it every way to make the property work. They had an empty house next door where squatters were at, okay? And they kept ripping the property off, okay? I did everything I could to make that work. It didn't work. As a business person, you can only continue to take so much of a loss. I made up my mind, and I went to Sister Grace, for instance. And I said to Sister Grace, I'd like to donate the property to you. Sister Grace said, only if you'll give me another $15,000, okay? I said, well, Sister Grace, I don't have $15,000 to give you, okay? I then went to the city, talked to Bob Bergen, head of the law department, said to him, look, you guys have investors coming into the city. Maybe you can get somebody who might want to invest in this property. I'm not going to invest another dime. I must have invested close to $40,000 in the house, okay? This is after I fixed it up the first time it's been vacant. Okay? So that's what happened. Now I get into the issue with the grass. one spring, you go back and check the records, there was a spring where it rained all spring. The grass did get high. They charged somewhere between $300 and $600. They're allegedly cutting the grass. When Dave Andreatta went over there, the grass had already been cut. All you have to do is go next door and talk to the lady, Maxine Hanks, who lived next door.
I did, David. You know that I did.
Maxine Hanks would have told you that the kid comes over there on a regular basis, okay, to cut that grass.
So that grass was getting cut? Dave Andreatta, the assemblyman is saying that your story was wrong, that grass was getting cut on a regular basis.
This is some kind of joke. Assemblyman, when I cut the grass last year, and really, I mean, I don't want to dwell on this, but if you'd like to, I'm happy to play along. But when I cut the grass last year, I think you can see from the video that we took that the grass was about knee-high, calf-high. In the backyard, it was over knee high. So I don't know who you hired to cut that grass, but he evidently stopped coming. Now, in fairness to you, Assemblyman, the city had by that point already taken over the house. So
is that when the city owned the house?
Yes. So by that point, the city had taken over the house.
Hold on. Then it was the city's responsibility to cut the grass, not mine.
No, of course, right. I understood that, and that was in that article. The article was really about you walking away from a property in a neighborhood that you have represented for 30 years. And
please tell the public that the city owns the property.
He did.
I did, in the piece.
It's in the piece.
Therefore, the city had the responsibility to cut the land.
Well, yeah, technically at that point,
you can't give that to me.
Technically at that point, David, as I've said, the city did own the property and should have been taking care of that grass.
How do you put this on me? And if you go back and look at the tax records, I had paid the taxes up to date until I kept asking the city.
Until you walked away, and Assemblyman, there are other people on that street. Listen, we're not going to go back and forth over each other, okay? You've had a long time to talk, and if you could please hear me out. First of all, I'm pleased that you're on the station today and speaking so articulately and eloquently, which typically my conversations with you, and from what I understand from other journalists in Albany and in Rochester, they technically have antagonistic conversations with you. So I'm pleased that we're having somewhat of a civil conversation, although I will say that I resent the notion that I have a problem with black officials, which apparently you can't substantiate. You're just angry about that. Angry about the needling that I've given you over the years.
All I do is look at what you did to Lovely Warren. I look at what you did to Adam McFadden, and now it's me.
What I did to Mayor Warren and what I did to McFadden? You're referring to the RHA article that I wrote?
Just tell me what other public officials that you've gone after. And I think...
Why don't you call the county office building and see if you can get Maggie Brooks on the phone to talk about how much she enjoys hearing from me?
Well, the same way most of us enjoy hearing from you when you don't do your homework.
All right. Well, why don't I address a couple of points?
You came on Lyndhurst Street. You tried to talk to people who had just moved into the house next door. And they've been there probably 30 days. The lady next door to them has been there over 50 years.
Oh, so you acknowledge that I did try to talk to your neighbors now. I thought a moment ago you said that I didn't bother to talk to your neighbors. You did. Okay, go ahead.
All right, hold on. Let's try.
The problem is you don't do your homework. How do you talk to somebody new the same way you talk to the lady on Central Park? That lady didn't know me or know anything about that property or anything else. You picked her out of what's-his-name. To get your story in.
Maxine Hanks didn't know anything about you?
And you haven't done it. If you did, you would have gone to the city and found out from the city that the reason I had to do what I did was because the house would have lost part of the lot, okay? Because they refused to give it, raise the guy's taxes.
I had an extensive interview with city officials regarding this property.
Assemblyman Gant, on the question of mowing the lawns here, I think to be fair to Assemblyman Gant, we have to restress this here. The city did own that property by the time Dave Andreotta from the Democrat and Chronicle went out to cut it. And I think that was clear in the piece. Assemblyman Gant, the question that I think was raised was, you walked away from that property, and when you saw the city wasn't at least mowing the grass, keeping it up, you didn't have to pay any more of it. Did you feel any moral obligation? Okay, at least I can do is go throw a lawnmower on it so it's not hurting the neighborhood.
And listen, I did the best I could in terms of trying to redo the house. I put new windows in. All the windows got taken out. Those that weren't taken out were broken. The gutters were taken off. I invested close to 40 grand in that house. You know, there comes a time when a business person has to make a tough decision, whether you like it or not. Okay?
You throw around facts like Donald Trump throws around facts. You told me when we spoke a year and a half ago that you invested somewhere around $20,000 in that property. Now it's $40,000.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you about the dollar figure.
Okay.
You count it up. I would say to you, you count up how much it does the cost to put plumbing in, how much a brand new furnace costs, how much new hot water tanks cost. How much new windows cost, replacement windows cost to put in. You add it up, and then you tell me.
Okay, look, I don't want to adjudicate how much somebody has put into a house or not. The reason we wanted to bring Assemblyman Gant and Dave Andreotta together here is because the questions I think Mr. Andreotta has been raising in his pieces is whether there has been either special treatment for people elected in power or a city program that is not fulfilling what it is claiming to do, which is using these grants to help spruce up neighborhoods that are trying to get on the upswing, trying to improve. Dave Andreotta, what questions remain for you that are unanswered? Let's try to do this civilly. Yep. The Assemblyman has been giving us a lot of time, and I appreciate it. David Gant is giving us a lot of time right here. That is greatly appreciated by the host in this program. Dave Andreotta, what questions still remain on your mind about the way either these programs or these actions have taken place?
Yeah, well, I guess the question I would have is why this program, which, by the way, this program has run its course. It has been suspended, has sort of a negative connotation to it, but it's basically run its course. It no longer exists. It just ended at the end of this past fiscal year, the city tells me, and they are the city issued an RFP, a request for proposals, for an independent evaluation of this program. So two of the questions I would hope that these independent evaluators take a look at are how a program can function when an applicant applies for such a grant without owning the property, how that was able to go forward. And number two, whether it's prudent to allow an applicant with a sketchy property tax history to receive one of these grants.
That's not true. You should go check the city and county records.
David, Assemblyman, I've looked through our archives, meaning the Democrat and Chronicle. Joe Spector did a story in 2006. I believe there was another story in the ensuing years after that about some tax issues you've had on the homes that you own. Listen, I don't doubt your commitment to your neighborhood. I don't doubt your commitment to Lyndhurst Street. Okay.
I paid them. One time a guy came to my house here. Okay, and I simply had forgotten.
You simply forgot long enough for the city to actually put the county to put those properties on the roll. That takes a full, I believe it's 9 months to a year.
That's not true. That's just not true.
To have your name added to the delinquent tax list roll?
The news person was with me, and I went right to the county office building and paid the taxes. When he was here, he followed me from my house here, 245 Lyndhurst, to the county office building and took photographs of me paying the taxes I owe full payment.
Okay.
I'm glad you paid those taxes.
Sorry,
Now, Assemblyman Gant, just a couple more quick questions, and I will let you go. And I appreciate your time here. The $36,000 grant that you received to spruce up a house that I know, again, is you didn't have to buy it. You got it through adverse possession. Would you have been able to afford any kind of repairs on your own? Was this a case that the taxpayers, if the taxpayers didn't step up to provide you money for this, would you have been able to afford to do it on your own?
I would end up continuing to pay for it. I paid for every house I owned on Lindner Street. I would continue to pay for that house.
So why take taxpayer dollars?
I paid the land contract. I paid for the remodeling. In fact, I have a magazine here in front of me that I told Miss Andrea about. I was in Upstate Magazine, which is their magazine, back in April 2nd, 1989. There was a magazine of me being in the basement doing the renovations on that particular house he's talking about.
Okay, but why take tax dollars then, David? If you're doing this on your own, why do that?
Why do what?
Why take a $36,000 city grant? Why ask taxpayers to pay for it if this is a house that you didn't have to buy and that you're saying that you were already taken care of and would have put your own money into?
Because, listen, there houses in this neighborhood could always stand to be improved. The city had a program. They went up and down Wells Street first. Then they went up and down North Union. And then they came on Lyndhurst Street. Okay? That's how that happened.
But
they're trying to rebuild a neighborhood.
Sure. Sure.
I have the responsibility of trying to rebuild a neighborhood. Okay? So we work together. You know, you look at it as $40,000. I look at it as an investment on the part of the city after I have made investment over the years, almost 40 years.
I would assume that program is for people who don't have a lot of money, though, right? People who don't have money to do it. People who aren't elected powerful figures.
Would you let me talk?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead, please.
The fact is, if I had walked away from this street back in 1974, I don't know what it would have been. Remember, the house I live in was a vacant.
It probably would have looked like the house that you walked away from on Central Park.
Well, that's probably true. But you know what? It wouldn't have done the neighborhood any good. Ms. Andretta, unfortunately, complained about it. Over the years, I don't know how many taxes I paid. I should be treated just like any other landlord. I happen to be a public official, okay? But a public official, who cares? And people will tell you in this neighborhood, go over and talk to the Du Boises. Go talk to the Williams over there. Go talk to, there's a guy in the greenhouse down there who all have been here 50 years or better, okay, who will all tell you that this street was going to hell if I didn't come in and try and restore it. And I did that. And I'm proud of the fact I did that. I've done nothing wrong in terms of the name. And let me make sure that Ms. Andrietta understands this as well as everybody else who's listening. If Mr. Kennedy come back today, He can have his property back. Okay? I paid it, done everything legally. I went to court legally. I kept the property up legally. I made it a better neighborhood. Okay?
I have another question, though, for you, Assemblyman.
Andrea was supposed to come by to help me do the community garden that I have down here. Never showed up. So I don't want to hear from you.
You know what? That I offered to come down,
you told me that my help wasn't needed.
Okay, so
is he still on the line?
I hope so. Assemblyman, are you still there? Okay,
I am.
Okay, so Dave Andrietta,
one question that I did have, and memory is a funny thing, so I'm going to give the Assemblyman the benefit of the doubt here, but I do have a question.
I don't need any benefit of the doubt from you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Dave Andrietta, go ahead.
All right. The deed, when the city transferred the deed to this Ernest Kennedy, who no one can find, I believe the year was 1992.
Uh-huh.
Your adverse possession claim in court, which you had earlier said that I didn't go to the courts. I did go to the courts, Assemblyman. I pulled all of the records. But your claim was that you had been looking for Mr. Kennedy since 1988. Those timelines, of course, don't really jibe. Can you tell me why that disparity? And again, it could just be a memory thing. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
The disparity between Kennedy getting the land from the city in 1992. That's when the deed was transferred from the city to Ernest Kennedy. But your claim on your adverse possession claimed stated that you had been looking for Ernest Kennedy since 1988.
Yeah. And I had Mr. Kennedy left. I thought he was coming back, and he didn't come back.
Okay, so, but he lived in that house at one point?
When Mayor Ryan, allowed him to have the house back in 19, I don't know the exact day, 88 or whatever it was.
It was 92, okay? Actually.
No, that's probably when he finished paying off the land contract.
No, that's when the deed was transferred, 1992.
Yeah, that's when he finished paying the land contract off. See, you didn't do your homework. I keep telling you that. That's when the guy, when I made the last payment to the city for the land, that particular piece of property. You haven't done your homework, David.
Well, there are some things that, I'm not privy to, unfortunately.
But that's the whole problem.
I asked. I went to the county treasury department.
Make allegations.
Okay. I spoke with the...
Try to do wrong, okay, to hurt anybody. Yeah. I try to build a neighborhood, and you know what? If I was so concerned about it, I would have moved to the Herbert. But you know what I did? I stayed right here in the ghetto with my family.
All right.
I don't think anybody would have anything but respect for someone who wants to see their neighborhood improve without leaving it. And I think that is absolutely admirable, and I think that's important. It is vital to our community. And the questions raised by Mr. Andreotta have been whether there has been any sort of preferential treatment or the actions of someone, do they match that rhetoric? And so
what Mr. Andreotta should do is to go talk to those people who put him up to this whole charade. I know who put him up to it. He knows who put him up to it. So he ought to
Why don't you say that out loud? Why don't you tell me who put me up to this? Because you know what put me up to it really is my gut instinct, my report, my journalistic instinct to question public officials when there seems to be something not quite right. And the way that you spoke to me on the phone, the way you're interrupting me now suggests that I have no right and that no one has any right to question the integrity of a public official. And that is not the case.
I have the right to question the integrity of those who write articles that aren't true.
But Assemblyman Gant, hold on. Assemblyman Gant, you're saying that Dave Andreotta, somebody planted this with him, somebody who wanted to hurt you. What's the allegation? I want to know what you're saying.
I'm not going to even get into it.
Because it doesn't exist.
My community knows who it is, and I'm announcing today that I'm a candidate for the state New York City Assembly in the 137th District and this coming year. So you can do whatever you want to do. I'm running for office, and I will let my community make the choice.
Okay. And here's a question from a listener for Dave Andreotta. John in Pittsford wants to know, Dave, are you accusing the Assemblyman of any crime here?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Or violating a law?
Absolutely not.
What's this story about? You're not accusing me of anything.
No, Assemblyman Gant, there are plenty of stories that go outside the bounds of whether they violate laws. I mean, there's a whole world of ethical and unethical. But Dave Andreotta, go ahead and continue here.
Well,
go ahead.
To that question, the city has said, look, Assemblyman Gant did not get any preferential treatment. We would have done the same thing for anyone else. Do you believe that? I'll leave that to readers. That being said, I'll take the city's word at it. Could I finish, please?
Why don't you go over to the city, okay, and find out how many houses have been done on North Union, Wells, and Lyndhurst Street, and see how many of those people are public officials. There's nothing wrong here. That's what I keep trying to tell you. There's nothing wrong. And those houses were done long before I had an opportunity to even apply. Lyndhurst Street was one of the last streets to be able to apply.
Well, the city, this, I'd like to just answer the caller's question. So the city said that he received no preferential treatment. Again, I'll just repeat the two questions that I think that this article raises. It really raises the questions about the integrity of the program. What kind of a program allows potential beneficiaries to apply for the program and for the ball to get moving on the program before they own the property? And secondly, is it appropriate for a program to reward an applicant with taxpayer dollars after having just spent taxpayer dollars to clean up a mess that the applicant left behind?
All right, let me hit that one. But, David Gant, the city spent roughly $26,000 to knock down the house that you walked away from.
I don't think that's the number, but okay.
Okay, but they spent something, and
they,
that's
they
the city's.
They tell me that.
Yeah, that's the city's estimate. I mean, it may be a little less, maybe a little more, whatever it is. $26,000 to knock down the house that you walked away from. Should there be any ethical reason for you not to be getting a grant from them then?
Let me ask a question. I'm going to ask a question this time.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer the question. Can Ms. Andrietta tell me how many dollars the city gave Gannett News to build the new building they're building?
Not off the top of my head, no, but I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure there's a figure out there somewhere.
Okay, can you tell me how much that is?
No, like I said, off the top of my head, I can't.
Oh. But they gave those individuals some money.
I'm not even sure if they did give money. There are probably some sort of tax subsidies. I'm sure that there are some sort of tax subsidies, but I don't have the exact figures.
That's given money, and it's going to be much more than the $26,000 you talk about over here on Lindner Street. See, that's the problem. People like you believe that rich people ought to continue to receive dollars and neighborhoods ought not. Now, I applied for the program. They didn't have to give it to me. They made the decision that I should get it.
And I'm questioning whether that decision was prudent. I'm not questioning the legality of it, but I'm questioning whether the decision was prudent.
The Net News received dollars. I guarantee you, I'd bet my life on it right here, okay? So why should they receive it, and I should not receive it who live here in the ghetto?
Okay, that's David's question there regarding subsidies for Gannett News is not something that I've got a pile of notes in front of me. And I think we can talk about that on a different day. Everyone should be looking at the way our tax dollars are spent. I mean, I understand. I've got no problem with that. But I don't want to fully deflect away from...
But listen, I only raise that as an issue. The fact is, the city's dying. Mayor Warren is trying to help the city. They came and they're trying to rebuild this neighborhood. I thought this neighborhood would start back in... Miss Andrietta, when I moved here in 1974, okay, at 275 Lindhurst Street, that was during the gas crisis, remember? I don't know if you remember, you're old enough to remember that, but it was a gas crisis. And then we had the gas, it was rationed. I looked at this community, I said to myself, if people are going to move back into the city, given what the gas crisis is, they're going to move back to this neighborhood. Unfortunately for me as an investor, they went the other way to the southwest. 40 years later, they finally get to this neighborhood. 40 years. I've been sitting here waiting, doing what I can, take every penny I can rake and scrape to try and rebuild this neighborhood, plant grass, plant shrubberies, help neighbors, help people in general, do the garden on the street that I'm trying to do, okay? All because I believe that neighborhoods ought to work. I'm going to continue to work with the city, whether I've gotten that property or not. That doesn't bother me. This neighborhood matters to me. That's why I stay here.
Well, David, I've got two questions left that I want to make sure I fully understand that. You know, you talk about how much it matters to you, and you defended yourself on the property last year, the zombie property, the one you walked away from, by saying it wasn't your responsibility anymore. It was the city's responsibility. When you noticed, though, that they weren't even touching the lawn, that it was a property that you walked away from and it was kind of getting out of control, even though it was their responsibility, I know you can call somebody at City Hall. They listen to you. You're one of the most powerful people in our area. You can at least ask them to send somebody over to mow the lawn, right?
If Miss Andrietta had called me, I would have. He didn't call me.
I'm talking independent of Dave Andreotta. Weren't you concerned about the fate of that property?
It was more of him making a show to try and embarrass me.
It had gone on, Mr. Assemblyman. I'm just wondering if you had concern about that yourself.
Listen, I sure I have concern about it. That's why I live where I live at. Yes, I'm concerned about it. Both of my sons were the people who live here.
Okay. By
the way, let me tell you. Also, each year, I establish a scholarship. One at Nazareth, one at Robert Westman. This year, we started the one at MCC because kids are graduating high school. They can't read like the name. Okay? I'm writing scholarship checks out to the churches right now that I do every year. Okay? I care about it. I put my money where my mouth is. Okay? And when you talk about the property, I don't really make any money off of when I get all through giving it away. Okay? But this is a neighborhood that I care about. I will continue to fight for, and I will not allow people to go and badmouth my name simply because there's another deal out there. So, Ms. Andreotta, God bless you. Anything I could ever do for you, except for talk to you, because I won't talk to you anymore. Okay? I'll be glad to do it.
Assemblyman Gant, please don't leave the program with at least answering one more question here, because this is important to me. We talk about race on this program. We talk about the complexities of race and how this community needs a frank conversation about it. And I appreciate it. And we always try to embrace the hard conversations. But you made a very, very tough allegation about Dave Andreotta on this program twice. You said that he's got a problem with black leaders. And I don't know where you substantiate it beyond the fact that he's written about alleged misdeeds.
Look at the articles he wrote. That's all you have to do.
No, you don't. You have to look at the substance of them and say whether the substance is there or not and whether there's a pattern of him. And so...
Assemblyman Gant, I'd like to just step in here, Evan, if I could for a moment. If you want to look at the history of my journalism career here in Rochester, I know we're spiking over each other, and I'm going to try to get the word in.
I was doing a riot, and you know what? This city is getting back to the same position.
My reporting has brought down the head of the Monroe County Airport, who was white. My reporting, in some ways, actually forced Mayor Tom Richards to cede his seat as mayor before he ran again. My reporting brought down the head of the Rochester Housing Authority and his deputy, both of whom were white. My reporting questioned the credit card policies of Monroe County, which was run at that time by and still is by Maggie Brooks, a white woman. I have also done reports on the board of RHA and the head then, who was Adam McFadden. I've done reports on Mayor Warren, and I've done reports on you. I mean, are you really trying to make this a race thing, Assemblyman?
It is a race thing.
Well,
I'll do that to your face.
Yeah, you told me when we were on the phone that the courts okayed this deal that you had with this house, and you said to me very specifically. You said to me, even poor black people have a day in court. Even we have our day in court. And I said, you're not poor. And you said, what? And I said, I don't think you're poor. You just said poor black people have their day in court. And I don't think you qualify.
Well, you can think whatever you want. You don't know what's in my...
And that's when you end up telling me to get lost in a nice way.
Well, I thought it's time for you to get lost. Anybody who writes 3 articles on a property that the city owns should get lost.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And I'll be glad to have the race debate anytime you get ready. You know what? I'm a little fed up with it. I'm an older guy and I'm 74, okay? But I'm not going to sit around and watch people rip apart that which has been good about this community. And if you want to attack me, God bless you.
Assemblyman Gant, you can come on this program anytime.
I don't want to come to the program. Let me tell you why I don't talk to you guys. When Lovely was running for city council, you guys treated her inappropriately. And I told your manager, and he said, no, your president, that CEO, that He said, no. I said, well, you better go check the records. Okay? That's why I don't talk to the media.
Assemblyman Gant, I wasn't working at this station when Lovely Warren was running for council or running for mayor. I've been here for 2 years. This is an open invitation for you to come back at any point. If you are ever treated unfairly, we can talk privately or on this program. And I don't believe it's a healthy discourse when some of the most powerful elected people won't come on media programs.
That's why I don't go on programs, okay? Because you don't treat my community fairly. I tell you to your face, I don't hide behind your back to tell you. I'm telling you now.
I appreciate it, Assemblyman, but the mayor of this city, Lovely Warren, is somebody who, her office, we're in touch with them all the time. I don't agree with them on every conversation we have, but they have been wonderfully helpful on issues they probably don't want to call us back on issues that they do. This is a responsive office. This is a responsive mayor. I don't know why you feel differently.
Because I've watched the history over the years. Remember, I've been a public official for 43 years.
David Gant.
And I've watched exactly what happened to my community over those years, including but not limited what happened to us as public officials.
Assemblyman Gant, thank you for your time.
Probably would want my guy to walk away from the Democratic Party because of the same racist stuff.
You see racism in the Democratic Party locally?
Pardon?
You see racism in the Democratic Party locally?
Did I? Ask the Democratic Party, they'll tell you.
David, thank you. We are out of time. That's Assemblyman David Gant. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you very much. I was able to face my accusers.
Dave Andriotta from the Democrat and Chronicle gave us a lot to talk about, and I want to thank you for your time as well here.
Thanks for having me, Evan. I appreciate it.
For our listeners, we will continue to try to have dialogues ever civilly, even occasionally uncomfortable. That's okay. That's part of this program, and we will continue to do that right here on Member Supported Public Radio. Thanks to Val LeBanc, the engineer of this program, and Megan Mack as the producer. I will talk to you on a Thursday.